singer-songwriter and advocate Pauline Scanlon is the driving force behind a movement to address gender equality in folk and traditional music. It's called Fair Play, and she says while there's been some movement in the 2 years since the campaign started, progress is disappointingly slow. Pauline's collaborated with many musicians, including Kiwi reggae band Trinity Roots, and is heading back to New Zealand in January to perform at the Auckland Folk Festival. I Skyped Pauline in Dublin and first asked her about the gender inequality she's battling.
Yeah, all manner of gender equality in the arts actually is something that I've been looking at. Myself and a few of my colleagues and contemporaries founded an organisation in January 2 years ago called Fair Play, and spelled P-L-E with an accent. So play is the Irish word for discussion. So we had kind of, I think the polite way of saying it, had become kind of sick to the teeth with the inequality in the billing and in the opportunities and also in the pay we were receiving by comparison to our male counterparts and colleagues. So we all clubbed together and started a movement to address it. And yeah, so I've been working in that field quite a bit for the last 2 years.
After 2 years, are you seeing some progress?
Yeah, absolutely. Strangely, or not so strangely, it was met with, like, I mean, the era of online harassment and bullying and stuff is, I mean, it's well upon us. But within the community, I guess it was met with a kind of a degree of suspicion. I don't think anything of its kind has really been attempted in the way that we did before, but then it had an awful lot of support as well. So it took a while, but for instance, there's two kind of major awards in our genre, in our field in Ireland, and both were balanced 50-50 this year for the first time ever. And not that awards really means that much to us, but I guess it's an indication that people and infrastructures and structures are willing and looking to move in the right direction. And I think, I mean, I would like it for it to be happening an awful lot faster, but it's not. And we just have to keep kind of trudging along and trying to push as much as we can, I guess, and working for that common goal.
I think the awareness of pay disparity in things like elite sport and Hollywood, say, you know, in the acting area, has been better known perhaps than pay inequality in music. Do you think that's right?
I think it's true. And I think it's more difficult to quantify it to a degree in music because, for a start, there's a prevailing attitude that you decided to have a career in the arts, it's badly paid, suck it up and deal with it. If you were good enough, you'd get paid the same. And there's this kind of hierarchy in terms of billing and who's more of a draw at a festival, who sells more tickets. It's all, I mean, nobody knows the answer to that question if there's 50 people on a bill, you know. There's a lot of corners and a lot of nooks and crannies for people to hide in. That's what I found with it. We've talked a lot. We've partnered with the Arts Council of Ireland with their dignity and respect policy. And so we're looking at funding and to try and affect positive change where we can. But it's very difficult in such grey areas to really get a proper look at how it all pans out. Basically, at the moment, we're looking for funding to do a proper survey and to do proper research on it. But it's very time consuming, and all of us then are professional musicians as well, trying to earn a living. So, you know, it's a lot to take on. I get a lot of flack for saying it, but I think that sometimes the nature of traditional music is that it can be quite conservative. And I feel that that is sometimes reflected in the politics and the political views of the participants. But that's a bit of a bold statement. But I do think that there is a kind of a conservative strand to the community. And I also think that maybe perhaps people feel that we're criticizing a kind of a sacred cow, you know, that the traditional music in Ireland is such a precious and valued entity. And it is to me also, I grew up with this music, that any criticism of it is a criticism of all of it. And it's not that.
You had grown up indeed with this very traditional music. You honour it in what you do. You may sing about different things and you collaborate and experiment. But at your heart, you're devoted to this strong musical tradition.
Absolutely. I think I've been thinking a lot about it over the last number of years about why I'm so drawn to it. Well, it was all around me growing up for a start. But I think there's something about singing old songs. There's a sense of solidarity that if generations of people have sung the same thing for their own reasons about the same loss or the same love or whatever it is, that I feel a sense of solidarity with those people all along the way. And I think that's why I like to sing with other singers a lot as well, and why I always have harmony and have a real love and a need for harmony in my singing. And I rarely sing these days without another singer doing backing vocals or sharing or whatever it is, because I just feel that for me, singing gives me a sense of comfort and solidarity. And I think old songs also give me that. So that's why it's so special to me, I think.
It's the ultimate storytelling, I think, when I think of Irish music. You know, there's always a story there.
There's always a story there. And then underneath the story, there's another story. And there are so many layers to a story. And then somebody will, you'll be talking about a song that you've just learnt, and then you'll mention it to somebody and they'll have a hidden verse that brings it off in another direction. And it's like, I mean, it's like a PhD, really, getting to know all these songs and putting them into categories. And they've, some of them have relations to each other and in Appalachia and Scotland. And so it's a kind of, the folk repertoire is, so it's, you know, it's century spanning and it's country spanning. And it's just, it's so vast that there's no end to it. It's quite boundless. And I love that.
We know you also, of course, from your collaboration with Trinity Roots, and that was really successful collaboration. You performed here, you performed overseas as well. What are your memories of that time and what you learned from each other?
And again, another sense of solidarity. It was the strangest thing. We were like hand in glove, us Irish lot and those lads. Like, we had such a good time, and musically it was such a good fit. Also, we both speak minority languages in our country of origin, and that is quite a strong link, you know, when you have that. And so there's an awful lot in common through that. I do a lot of collaborative projects, but that was definitely my favorite I've ever done, because there's a kind of a frisson, or there's just something that happens when a certain combination of people get in a room together to play music. And that was just a magic combination. There was, all the boxes were ticked, and I think that's why that worked so well.
Your latest album, what are you exploring anything new in that?
I am. Yeah? I'm working on an album. I'm working on a collection of songs at the moment, actually, based on the life of my late mother. So as part of the Fair Play movement, I started to take a look at some of the material, and I think it's a kind of a fairly well, you know, accepted fact that the agency of women in folk song, Peggy Seeger writes a lot about it, and there's some really brilliant articles and a lot of really great academic work on this, on the agency of women in folk song and traditional song. You know, it's definitely not equal, and quite often we're very beautiful creatures, or we've been murdered and are lying in a shallow grave somewhere, or, you know, and there are very strong characters. And so I've been looking at that, and without kind of trying to rewrite history, I guess, because it is what it is, and what's been preserved is what's been preserved. So we have the songs that we have. I've taken my mother's life, because she has a life lived. She passed away 7 years ago, and I've broken it down to 12 stages, and I've picked a corresponding traditional song for each stage of her life. So that's what I'm working on at the moment. And I'm going to release it in three parts. It's kind of three EPs. So it's a feminist work, I guess you could say. She struggled with a lot of the oppressions of the Irish church and state through her life. So I'll explore some of that, as well as some of the more cheery and joyful things that happened in her life. But yeah, so that's where I'm at the moment.
You've been very open. You've said, I'm quoting you here, Ireland has been for decades a country that has treated women with utter contempt at times. Abortion is an issue that you've spoken about very candidly too, trying to use your music, you say, to get people talking. There's been a big change in Ireland with the abortion law. How important was that, do you think, to your nation?
I think it's been the most important political, I mean, bear in mind that I personally come from an island that is divided, you know, and I come from an island that has had a war in it, you know, I come from an island that's possibly about to be further separated, you know, so we're kind of quite used to struggle and political imbalance and unrest and all sorts of things. But for me personally, it was the most significant thing. It meant freedom. It meant it was in some way making some kind of reparation for the past. And I think the fact that it was such a landslide, I remember coming up to that, to the referendum, we'd been campaigning and campaigning and everybody, you know, was freaking out. And my friend Yvonne McGuinness, she started the Hear Me Out campaign, and her whole thing was that we all know what very outspoken people think, but there's a whole load of people and we don't know what they think. So that's what the Hear Me Out campaign was about. It was about going one-on-one to the people in your life if you kind of didn't really know where anybody standed or stood with it, to come and broach the subject. So that, I thought that was a really effective way of engaging with people. So that's why I decided to become part of that. And then when we had such a landslide, I wouldn't even call it a victory, to be honest. I found the whole process really humiliating to have to ask for healthcare in that way. But, you know, I mean, it did feel like a victory for a short while, I guess. But, you know.
I thought I'd wrap this up by talking about John Reynolds. We've been talking about collaboration with musicians. Mm. But I think when you find a producer who just, clearly there's something magic when you and John work together. What is it about him?
We've worked together for nearly 20 years now, and John understands the psychology and the emotions of singers better than anyone I know. He gives you a safe space in his beautiful studio. He's got an amazing microphone, and he's really interested in listening to what you have to say or where you want to go with something. And quite often I find that when you go to a studio, the person sitting in the desk is quite eager to tell you that rather than to listen to that. And John just opens a space where you can just go in, and he just disarms everyone, and everything is really fun and everything is just really good crack. And you can just get the job done really well. And we just have a real energy between us, and we have done for a long time, and we're really close friends. Where that's my little daughter there now.
Oh, bless her. She's going to be a singer too? She's got a good, lovely voice. Good set of lungs from her mum, hey?
Yeah. Absolutely.
When you're here in New Zealand for the Auckland Folk Festival, Pauline, what are you going to be singing? What songs are you bringing over here?
Well, I'll bring a collection. I'll bring a selection of all of the songs over the years, you know. I'm going to be singing with one of my closest friends, who's also a member of Grada. She'll be singing backing vocals with me, Nicola Joyce, and singing some songs herself. And then Noli MacDonald, also of the Wylaways, and my husband, Eamon. So it'll be a selection of folk songs in Irish and in English, some old favourites and a few new ones, especially for the occasion as well. We love a little bit of a challenge, and we love to get a new set together for a festival. So I think there'll be a few new things. I like going down with some brand new things.
Pauline Scanlon, one of the headline acts at the 2020 Auckland Folk Festival, starting on the 25th of January.